Hey there, web or podcast listeners. I'm Vermont Edition producer Matthew Smith, and I wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited to make it a little bit shorter and a little bit sweeter. Thanks, and I hope you enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. All jokes about faded glory and hanging on to the past aside, high school sports were an important part of the mix for so many of us as teenagers. They taught us about friendship, discipline, adrenaline, competition, teamwork, and often disappointment. Sports remain an important part of the high school experience here in Vermont, but priorities are changing, and so are demographics. So what does that mean for the teams and sports on the list in Vermont schools? We're going to look at trends in high school sports today. Jamie Bigham is a sports editor at the Barrie Montpelier Times Argus. Jamie, nice to have you on the program.
Thanks, Jane.
Aaron Cofield is sports director for channels 22 and 44. Aaron, nice to have you on the show today.
Thanks so much.
And Bob Johnson is associate executive director of the Vermont Principals Association, which is the rules-making body for Vermont high school athletics programs. Hi, Bob. Nice to talk with you.
Thank you. Good morning.
And Bob is at a conference in Arizona, so we have him by phone. Bob, how would you compare the participation and support of high school sports today with what existed a generation ago?
I actually think participation in high school sports is probably up. I think the question that we're running into now is the number of students that are available, because we are seeing declining student enrollments. But in terms of overall participation, I would tell you that I think it has increased from 10, 15 years ago.
Do you have stats on that, or is that just your feeling?
No, that is stats that actually have been produced by the National Federation of State High School Associations, which is the umbrella organization for the VPA. And they do keep stats on participation levels year by year.
Jamie, you've been sports editor at the Times Argus for something like 18 years now. Do you agree with what you're hearing from Bob? What do you think about generational changes?
I think the rate of participation may be correct, but VPA has said that Vermont schools are losing around 1,000 kids a year. There's only three schools with increasing enrollment out of around 80, and I think VPR just had a study that said by 2030, Vermont's going to be the oldest state in the country. So that doesn't bode well for participation in my mind.
Well, so then there's a difference, right? Because it's not participation among the students, it's how many students there are. So in terms of participation, do you feel like students still want to play sports, that organized sports at the school level, organized by the school, team sports are still a priority for students today?
Oh, big time. And there's actually more sports. Bowling is now a sport. Ultimate, they don't like it to be called ultimate frisbee.
Just
ultimate is a big sport.
In fact, it's the newest sport. It'll be a varsity sport in something like 18 months, right?
Correct. Coming from Montpelier, we had the girls were the state champions last year. The boys' ultimate was runners-up. However, there's grumblings in Montpelier because there's no more football team, no more softball team, no more girls' lacrosse team, and other numbers are struggling.
So, Aaron Cofield, what about for you? I mean, when we talk there about new sports coming on, bowling, cheerleading, dancing, sports that may be, that are varsity sports, varsity level sports that may not have been, and yet schools struggling to field a football team or schools deciding not to have a football team. Do you see it as a participation issue or just a changing interests kind of thing?
Kind of a both. I think, you know, when it comes to football, it's no secret that these days the talk has all been about the whole concussion situation and what's going on and parents having fears. And so if their child's just as interested in one of these other sports that are being offered, I think the parents will tend to, you know, guide their kid towards the sport that's maybe not seen as quite as dangerous. I also think, you know, I grew up in Connecticut and I lived in Louisiana, and in both of those states, I feel like there was the traditional sports were much more, you know, prevalent and a big deal. But then you come to Vermont and we have so much to offer that, you know, there's the skiing and snowboarding team and things like that, that a lot of kids here don't do the traditional sports when they're younger, but that doesn't mean they're not doing sports. It's just they're doing, you know, taking advantage of some of what the area has to offer. So when they get to high school, they, you know, maybe love rock climbing or they love, you know, snowboarding with their friends on the weekend. So they're still being active, just not, you know, maybe playing football, basketball, baseball like it used to be.
Does that take them out of the pipeline, though, for high school sports? I mean, often when you talk about a varsity level high school sport, you're not looking at developing a player who's never played the game before. You're looking at a high level of expertise and, you know, a soccer player who's been playing since she was five.
Right. I think so. I think, you know, if you were to look at youth programs, that's a really big driver when it comes to the sports like football and like hockey around here. And so, you know, if towns start to see their numbers dwindling in that, you know, 5-10 years ago, that's why now we're kind of starting to see that issue in high school, because kids, you know, maybe a kicker joins the football team when they get to high school, but most football players have probably put on pads, you know, long before they get to high school.
Aaron, you were just talking about, you and Jamie, about sports that are doing really well, that have made the roster for varsity sports, and others that are in decline. Do you see some that you'd say, oh, these are really on the rise and these are really on the decline?
I mean, I think, you know, football's the obvious one on the decline. I think this year and last year, they were teams that were optimistic they'd be able to field a team, and then, you know, the season gets here and they just, you know, they can't. And so I think that's the biggest, you know, eye-opening one. As far as, you know, ones that are on the rise, I guess I don't know, or I haven't necessarily, like, looked into the numbers enough to know. I'm sure there are some. But, I mean, also if you're adding sports, then there's also, you know, kids who maybe used to play football that are now playing golf. Like, there's one area high school who I talked to their coach before the season started, and they lost their starting quarterback to play golf because golf became a fall sport. And it was like, well, you know, golf, he's just as good at golf or maybe better than he is at football. And, you know, sometimes you'd maybe hear that about a guy who's, you know, the second string wide receiver, but for the quarterback of the team to make that decision, you know, I think some of it's just the same kids are sidestepping maybe into some of the other options.
Yeah, Jamie, what do you think? I mean, in many cases in schools, too, we're not even seeing a JV or a thirds team. You're just seeing the varsity team. So you lose your starting quarterback. You don't really have that backup and then another backup and then another backup that you could pull from the lower teams.
Sure. We saw that with Oxbow football this year. It was really unfortunate because a woman from Bradford a while back had donated $20,000 to keep the program afloat. And they had to cancel their season, like Aaron's saying, real last minute. That forces the other teams to drop a game. So football could be in trouble. I'd be curious what Bob Johnson's opinion is. We used to have 8-man football, and I'm wondering there could be a return of 8-man football if the teams don't have the numbers.
Bob, what do you think about that?
Well, I know it is something that's being discussed, but with the people that I've talked with, I don't see it coming back. I mean, I do agree with Jamie. I mean, there are some problems with numbers in football, and we have seen a couple of teams that have had some difficulty. Oxbow was one of them that saw difficulty this year, and they're hoping to bring their program into 11-man football next year. You know, I just don't, from the people that I'm talking with, I don't see the support right now for 8-man. We used to have it. But very honestly, when we eliminated 8-man football, the reason we eliminated it is because the schools who were involved, and there were only about five or six of them, the majority of them, 2 to 3 of them, said, we want to play 11-man football. So that's when we switched over. And I know it's being discussed, but I just don't see us heading that way again.
Bob, why are there so many sanctioned sports? I mean, we were talking about Ultimate has just been added. There's alpine skiing, bowling, cheerleading, dance, field hockey, football, golf, gymnastics. I mean, I could go through the whole list, but there's a lot of sports. Don't they compete against one another?
Well, it's a yes and a no. Do we offer more sports than we used to? Yes. But on the other hand, I think we're also offering sports to a segment of the student population that we haven't tapped into before. You know, I heard, you know, the comment about the football quarterback who went and became a golfer and decided not to play football. And yes, that can happen. But the flip side is most schools also have policies that allow students to participate in multiple sports. You know, in order for a new sport to come in, there has to be a certain level of interest. We have to have a minimum of 9 schools that say that they'll be willing to sanction the sport. We give the sport 2 years to be on an exhibition activity to show that they can actually sustain themselves. And then, you know, we move on. And if the interest is still there, we will sanction it. Ultimate is a great example. Ultimate has been in the pipeline now for 3 years. And the number of students who are participating in Ultimate is just exploding. The flip side is I'm not sure that it's taking away from that many programs in the spring, such as softball or baseball, because these were students who were probably playing ultimate already, but playing it as a club status, and now they'll be doing it as a varsity sport.
Again, listeners, talking about high school sports today, and we'd love to have your input, what you're seeing, what you're feeling. If you're a student athlete or maybe a recently graduated student athlete, how important are high school sports, and what do you see as the balance between the right number of sports and the right sports themselves? Our number is 800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. And if you just want to brag about your favorite local team, you can post a note on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. Thayer is calling in from Montpelier. Hi, Thayer. Go right ahead.
Hey. I just wanted to comment on the whole Ultimate Frisbee thing. I went to Montpelier High School. Go Solon. And I just want to say, like, now it's a varsity sport, but before – it wasn't, and I know from lacrosse, they'd have like over 100 kids sign up to play Ultimate Frisbee. It took away from kids that were playing lacrosse or whatever, and I know now it's going to be a varsity sport, but before, like, can kids even get a college scholarship to play Ultimate Frisbee? Like, I don't know. I think it's kind of ridiculous. I mean, I think it's good now that it's a varsity sport, but I don't know. I feel like it's losing. Our sports that have been around for a while now are losing to these new things, and I don't know. I know the lacrosse coach stated it. I don't know. That's my opinion. I'm probably going to piss off a lot of Ultimate Frisbee players, but
well,
Thayer,
let me ask you though: if kids and whoever want to play Ultimate and they don't want to play lacrosse, why shouldn't they play Ultimate? And why shouldn't Ultimate be a varsity sport as it is now? I mean, if you say it's taking away from lacrosse, but presumably these are people making their own decisions about what sport they'd like to play.
Made me realize I wasn't going to get broken. I don't know. I'm not saying they shouldn't, but I know that it has affected other sports that kids can get scholarships to go to school. I just don't know, do they offer that for Ultimate Frisbee? Can kids get, you know, scholarships, full rides to college if they do well in Ultimate Frisbee? Like, do they gain from it?
Yeah, Thayer, I take your point. Aaron Cofield, what do you think? I mean, first of all, the question of scholarships. Not many kids are getting scholarships to go do high school, to go to college-level sports anyway.
Right, at least in, I guess, in our area. But yeah, no, I don't think that there's collegiate ultimate yet, I guess.
Oh,
maybe.
There is. There's a kid from Montpelier, Josh Crane, who was, I think, the captain of Colorado College, University of Colorado Ultimate. So there is ultimate at the college level. Very
scholarship?
That I don't know.
There is. Jamie's correct. You know, it's a minimal amount of schools that offer scholarships now for programs like Ultimate, but they are out there.
Yeah, Aaron, go ahead.
That's good. No, I mean, and so I see his point, and I guess, you know, if he was on the lacrosse team and he watched, you know, some of his buddies that were on lacrosse say, you know, man, no, I think I'm going to go play Ultimate instead. You know, I can understand the frustration there.
Yeah, I mean, it can really thin out the team that you – for the sport. If you're a lacrosse player and you're seeing your friends go to Ultimate and you still want to play lacrosse and have a strong team, it can really affect your ability to compete with other schools.
Right. And so I can understand that. But like you said, I mean, people – you know, people have options and they can make the decisions, you know, that they want to make. I think, you know, it's no secret that, you know, Vermont isn't – I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this – but a hotbed for, you know, athletes that, you know, go on and play in, you know, the pros and that kind of thing. There's a handful of them, but to me, high school sports in Vermont are more about, you know, the camaraderie and the discipline. And a lot of people do well and they do move on, but it's not as common, I guess, in Vermont as it might be in other areas. And so therefore, when there are options, I mean, that's great. I used to work in Louisiana and get this, high school rodeo is a sanctioned sport.
Whoa, yep. Interesting.
Yep. I remember the first time I covered, like, the state championships. I was like, what is going on? But, you know, and down there, that's something, you know, people really like to do. And so for some kids, they don't want to play basketball there. That's what they do.
Plus, probably not a lot of Nordic and Alpine skiing.
No, not at all.
But even better than that, Aaron, is if you go over to New Hampshire, New Hampshire now sanctions bass fishing as a senior sport, as an activity.
Yep, and I know that's in college,
too. A group of kids that are really involved with bass fishing. So I think there is an attempt right now by a lot of schools to try and find activities that tap into the interest level that their students have. And very honestly, I think the student interest level in a lot of our traditional sports like baseball, soccer, and basketball is changing. And I think that they're getting more involved, whether it's with bass fishing, ultimate, bowling, whatever. I think they have different interests than we have in the past.
I think a part of that here, though, too, is, you know, it's not a state where there's like a pro team for all of these. So a lot of these kids don't grow up saying, you know, I want to be the next Drew Brees. I want to be the next Alex Rodriguez. You know, they casually pay attention to the pro sports, but it's not as embedded into our culture here. So when they have these other options, it's you know, they didn't, as a five-year-old, you know, run around saying this is what I'm going to do and just have that dream forever. They've had so many options. They can do whatever they want.
And you know, I'm not talking about college scholarships here, but I can count off the, you know, just off the top of my head, probably 8 or 10 Vermonters who went to public school who are going to be in the Olympics in Pyeongchang.
Right.
A lot of skiers, Amanda Pelkey from Montpelier, likely be on the hockey team, snowboarders. So Vermonters are doing very well at the world level.
Right. In the non-traditional sports would be.
Right.
I agree.
Right.
No, I agree completely. It's just that
Jamie's trying to prevent any of the mail that comes in saying, Aaron Cofield, how dare you? Let's go to Cam in Berlin. Hi, Cam. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Hey, so I was a high school athlete. I played 3 sports. And even when I was in high school 20 years ago, the sports were changing. We had a golf team that was fairly new. And, you know, I have a couple of thoughts on this. One is that the purpose of high school sports is not to funnel people into the pros or even to get them college scholarships. It's really to teach camaraderie and to teach teamwork, because once you get into the real world and into the workforce, you have to work with other people. And it's an opportunity for kids to learn about how to work within a team setting. The other thing is that I think a lot of the angst or frustration around the loss of certain school sports, like football, for instance, is really just nostalgia. And I feel like it's a little bit self-serving of parents to point out the loss of sports, particularly football, which is in a class by itself as far as the danger to the participants, particularly at youth levels. So, you know, those were my thoughts. And I really think that let the
Cam, your line is going, but I hear what you're saying and appreciate that point about nostalgia. And for parents, let the kids play the sports they want to play. Let's get one in more here from John in Richmond. Hi, John. Go right ahead.
Thanks, Jane. I pretty much had a similar thought to your previous caller. You know, the NCAA has an ad, you know, during college football season where they say 98% of our athletes become professionals in other areas. And I'm sure the numbers are similar from high school to college. So you're talking about a very, very thin layer at the very top who are playing at the elite level, regardless of the sport. You know, my son was a sprinter in spring track. You know, well, spring track doesn't start until mid-April here, you know. So it's you're talking about, like they said, the previous caller, participation, teamwork, things that they might not be experiencing to the same level in the classroom. So it complements that.
John, thanks for your point. I appreciate that. Bob Johnson, we know that school consolidation is an issue in many different ways, and there are some schools that are choosing to come together. What does that actually mean for sports programs when these smaller schools merge and combine?
Well, I think it's kind of a double-edged sword. You know, on one hand, is it going to reduce the number of schools that are going to participate in activities? Yes, it is. But the flip side of that is by consolidating, you may see some schools who are able to add on additional activities that they couldn't have before, because now they have an increased population that's coming in. You know, there have been some great examples. You know, locally in central Vermont, you have the Williamstown-Northfield merger that has been going on with their sports teams. And, you know, right now they took a creative approach. You know, the majority of their programs are going to be merged programs, so you're going to see Northfield and Williamstown students competing together, some in some sports where they never had teams before. The flip side is in a traditional sport like basketball, they have chosen to keep their separate identity in terms of basketball. So I think we are going to see a lot of changes over the next few years as more and more of these mergers start to happen.
What do you think, Jamie?
I think we like to romanticize the past, like the last callers were saying. And you look at Whitingham and Wilmington merging, they became Twin Valley. Twin Valley has been a huge success story. Whitcomb and Rochester merged their Whitchester. Now you've got Exit 5. They call themselves with Northfield Williamstown. It took me a while to get used to that name, but I like it. The other thing, you know, we're going to see South Royalton, I believe, merging with those schools. And a lot of those smaller towns, they kind of have a second-class citizen feeling where there's the haves and the have-nots, and they've always lost to these bigger schools. And like Bob Johnson saying, if they combine schools, all of a sudden they can compete with the Division II or Division I. And that's something these kids have never even dreamed of.
But what does that mean for Division IV schools that are left?
It could be the end of Division IV. I like to think of Cabot Boys Soccer as a great example. They've got 22 kids in their school. All but three played soccer. You've got four or five sets of siblings on that team, and it's an incredibly successful program, but it's going to be tough to sustain. Basketball, you only need five players on the court. Basketball, you can slide by a little bit more. But I with Division IV, there's definitely a Hoosiers effect in Vermont. In 2010, you had the Division II champion was U32. They were beat by the D3 champ that year, which was Hazen. And Hazen was beat by the D4 champ that year, Williamstown. So that's a badge of honor for Williamstown.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's still a chance. But, yeah, it's harder and harder for those smaller schools. And harder to then have a full schedule if there are fewer D4 schools to play. I mean, if you're a D4 school and you're either playing up a division or you're sort of, you know, playing the same schools a bunch of times.
Another example I'd say is Bellows Falls Field Hockey. They're not a huge school. Their enrollment is 166 girls. They outscored teams 109-4. They've won 40 straight games. So you can have these smaller schools, Williamstown basketball, Hazen basketball, that are just, first of all, they're great places to watch a game. That the crowds are incredible. But Division IV as a whole, who knows?
We got a note from a listener who says, can you discuss less competitive sports participation? We have two primary school age kids, both of whom love playing sports, but we are realistic about their prospects to make a high school, even JV team. We'd like to see middle and high schools accommodate all children who want to play sports. The number of kids who drop out of any sport is dramatic, starting in fifth or sixth grade, especially among girls. There's lots of evidence that sports is protective against risky behaviors too, like smoking. We don't mean non-traditional sports, but creating sports opportunities that are not oriented to win, win, win. Aaron Cofield, I read this now because is that maybe something that's more of a possibility if there are bigger programs so that you're having not just a varsity but a junior varsity or maybe an intramural basketball team as well so that kids who don't want to just be in it for the competitive side of things are still getting the other benefits of sports?
I mean, yeah, I think the whole, if you say participation is down, though, then I think that opens opportunities for kids who have the heart and want to be there. You know, so often it's, you know, coaches will say, or the captain of the team might not be the best person on the team, but they're the one with the biggest heart and their passion is there and they're in it. I think, I don't know, I might get in trouble for this, but sports are competitive. That's a part of it. And that's, you need to learn to deal with loss, right? It's like everyone always says the whole everyone gets a ribbon thing. And I'm not saying that that's bad and that all kids shouldn't be rewarded, but life is hard. helps teach that as
but
you
grow. So I ran cross country in high school. I was a terrible cross country runner. I did really well in some other sports. Cross country was not a sport I was ever going to win in. But because we had a big enough team that I could still race, I still learned about competition.
Right.
I certainly learned about disappointment and loss on that team. And I learned how to push myself. But if the team had been confined to only 10 kids, I wouldn't have been on it. So I wouldn't have been learning those lessons, even though it was about competition. It was about pushing myself, but it wasn't one that I was going to be the winner on. You know, I was never going to be the top runner, but I still got a place on that team.
Right. I guess that would maybe be a Bob question is because I'm not sure at the high school level, how many students that are going out for teams are actually being cut from teams. Because if it's, schools that have a varsity and a JV, there's probably room for that just based on what we're saying. There's less students and there's less participation. So,
yeah. Bob Johnson, what about it?
Well, first of all, I think there's two things to look at. I used to coach both an individual sport in track and field and also a traditional sport in basketball. The way that the VPA looks at sports, first of all, is we see them as students first and athletes second. Second of all, especially at the middle school level, we encourage participation. I absolutely hate to see, a middle school program where they have to do cuts. And there are some programs around there that they do cuts at the middle school level. And a lot of it usually has to do because of issues that don't seem important, such as the number of uniforms that you have. We want students to participate, as much as they can. Very honestly, with a lot of athletes, you don't know what they're going to be like when they're in seventh and eighth grade as compared to when they're going to be at the high school level. You know, when you get to the high school level, it does change. And, it does become more of a competitive environment. When I was coaching track and field, I loved track and field because with track and field, no matter how big you are, how small you are, how fast you are, there is always an event for you to do in. And very honestly, you could do as well as you wanted to do, as hard as you were willing to train. At the same time, a lot of our more traditional sports are limited, and they're limited again by things such as how many people can you have on a bench? How many teams can you have at a school because of the number of coaches involved, the gym availability? And so, unfortunately, some of our programs in basketball probably is the prime example. Many of our larger schools do have cuts that happen to their program, and it's because they just simply can't offer five or six or seven teams. We want to see students participate. You know, Jamie and Aaron mentioned before, there's not a lot of Vermont students who go on to college scholarships. There are some, okay, but not a whole lot. So the biggest thing for Vermont kids is the lessons that you learn, okay, while you're participating in sports. And, yes, it's a competitive environment, and there are winners and losers at the high school level. But you try and keep as much participation involved as you can. And some sports are really good at that. Cross country, Jane, is a good example. When we have the yearly cross country championships down in Thetford, Champlain Valley comes down and they have what they call a challenge race, which is for kids who are not on the varsity. Champlain Valley will send down 60 runners to run in that challenge race. Now, the varsity team will be made up of 7 or 8, but they send 60 runners to participate. So the more participation, the better. But unfortunately, just the way that some sports are structured, we can't do that all the time.
It's interesting, hearing about the different sports and the different ways it goes in high school and certainly different programs. Let's go to Ed, who's calling in from Addison. Hi, Ed. What are you thinking about?
Hi, Jane. I have 3 quick comments. I'm a high school track coach, and I've been for quite a number of years. And I think 3 issues that come up continuously is, one is so many of the kids are so overcommitted to so many different things, and it really affects their participation and their commitment to a sport. Secondly, I think that in talking to a lot of other coaches, a lot of them agree with me that the basic level of physical fitness of a lot of kids has gone downhill over the years. And the third thing is it's just very difficult to find qualified coaches and, quite frankly, qualified officials as well. So those are 3 issues that I'm concerned about.
Ed, we haven't really talked about finding coaches and officials. Do you see something that would help in that pipeline in getting more people interested in coaching or qualified to do it?
Well, I just think that things have changed. I mean, when I first started coaching in the early 80s, a lot of the coaches were so-called in-house. In other words, they taught at the schools and then they coached. Teaching has become more stressful. I think that's become more difficult for people to do, and I don't have an answer. All I know is that whenever I mention retiring possibly to my athletic director, he says, no, you're not.
Hey,
I don't think it's because I'm the best coach. I think it's because he knows he's going to have trouble finding somebody to replace me.
At least you have job security in your role as track coach. Thanks for sharing that, Ed. It's an important point to think about as well. Let's talk to Molly in Jericho. Hi, Molly.
Hi. Are you there?
Yep, we hear you.
Okay. So my comment about the rise of different out-of-the-norm sports, I think has to do with the fact that so many of the mainstream sports kids are specializing in really early. So, for instance, I have a child who's interested in soccer, but we as a family can't afford to have him do year-round premier soccer. And so, as a result, he's never going to be at the same level as these kids who have been in these premier soccer leagues since they were 9 and 10 years old, which means when he gets to the high school level, he may or may not make the soccer team, but he's probably going to want to do something like ultimate or volleyball, which is now going to hopefully become a varsity sport. Right now, it's a club sport at his school. My other son is playing volleyball because he's never been overly into athletics, and volleyball was something that you didn't have to have a lot of experience to do. He could just kind of go, be part of the team, and learn as he went. And I don't believe in trophies for everyone, but I do believe in opportunities for everyone.
Yeah, Molly, thanks. I appreciate your point. We've got a couple other comments that sort of touch on a little bit of what you're talking about. Catherine says, wants to know, what effect have elite teams like soccer, which forbid their participants from joining their school team of the same sport, has had on participation in school sports? And then we have another questioner who says, is the preponderance of private club-based sports leagues and teams having a negative impact on high school teams? Kids start these leagues at a very young age, and it's basically a year-round commitment for many people. So, you know, three listeners commenting on this in sort of different perspectives, but this idea that, first of all, can my kid even play if these other kids have been playing forever? But then Catherine saying some of these elite players aren't even allowed to play on their school team because they're playing a club team. I see you nodding, Jamie.
Well, this was in the news a few years ago. Probably the most high-profile instance was Synergy Soccer. The director had said, hey, you've got to make the choice, varsity, or maybe you'll have a better chance of getting a college scholarship if you go to these showcase tournaments. My favorite story with that is former CVU captain and UVM soccer captain named TJ Mead. He coached CVU for a while. He was a captain for UVM soccer, and he was asked in one story about the highlight of his career, and he still said winning the state championship in high school because he was playing with his buddies. These are the kids you hang out with all the time, and you're going to remember that for the rest of your life.
I kind of disagree with the notion of that the kids who do the year-round sport are going to be the ones who are better. I have a good friend who lived in Louisiana, but growing up he did baseball, basketball. And he went on to sign a, you know, contract with the Boston Red Sox and play in their minor leagues, and he never gave up all the other sports for baseball. But a lot of his friends who did, by the time they get to that age, they're burnt out and they're tired of it.
If not injured.
Or, you know, when I was younger, I used to joke that my parents didn't pay for babysitters. They just signed us up for sports leagues. And, I mean, we did floor hockey and basketball and soccer and gymnastics. And I didn't even start diving until my freshman year of high school, but then I dove at Syracuse, like, collegiately. So it's not necessarily that, you know, if you put your kid in that means they're going to be better than the others. You know, sometimes being well-rounded and not getting burnt out from the one sport, you know, is the way to go.
So, Bob Johnson, yeah,
I agree with Aaron. You know, there's a lot of research out there now about sports specialization and actually the amount of injuries and damage that it can do to students who don't give their bodies a rest by participating in another sport. Ironically, we've had a number of speakers over the past 4 to 5 years who have come to Vermont from the college level who encourage multi-sport participation. You know, when you're in high school, it's your one opportunity to play all of different sports, as many sports as you want, and they encourage it. They don't necessarily like to see the sport specialization. And, you know, I mentioned to someone this morning that one of the things that concerns me is when I go to soccer games and I take a look at a number of the young kids who are on the field who are already wearing knee braces or knee supports while they're out there. And it's the overuse injuries that really concern me. You know, we did adjust at the VPA. We now have a policy that says that if you want to play on your high school team as your number one and then you want to play on a non-school team, you can do that. And there are parents that will do that. They'll have their kids participating on, you know, two different soccer teams, two different basketball teams all year round. And I also had a couple of nieces who were very good athletes in high school who recently graduated. And as Aaron said, they burned out. And all of a sudden, sports was not nearly as interesting to them by the time they got to their senior year.
Well, so the lesson I'm hearing here is play lots of sports and play them no matter whether you're good or bad and join a high school team. Well, I appreciate all three of you being here. Bob Johnson is Associate Executive Director of the Vermont Principals Association. Thanks, Bob. Nice to talk with you.
It was nice talking to you, Jane. Thank you very much.
Jamie Bigham is sports editor at the Barrie Montpelier Times Argus. Jamie, thanks very much.
Thanks, Jane.
And Aaron Cofield is sports director for Locals 22 and 44. Aaron, nice to talk with you.
Thanks so much.